As our children are exiting the sanctuary, I invite you to take a seat as we begin our worship time together. So as we gather today for worship, if you were here early, you know I'm not supposed to be here preaching today. Pastor Carolyn had a severe and stabbing pain in her left shoulder for a few days last week and wanted not to spend her 50th birthday in the emergency room. So she smiled through the pain, went to the emergency room yesterday morning. By then she had not only pain but a rash, and she was diagnosed with shingles. And she is at home in a lot of pain, so we will pray for her at the end of the service, but I ask that you pray for her. She received an antiviral medicine, but nothing for the pain. She's gonna follow up with her PCP tomorrow, and we hope that she will be back with us next Sunday. Pastor Steve was on vacation this week, although he spent part of the week with his daughter, who had a mild case of chickenpox, even though she had the vaccine for it. So go figure, you know, the same virus causes both of those things. But today, we begin a short, compared to 32 weeks of Luke, a short 5-week sermon study series on gifts of grace, looking at spiritual gifts in 4 New Testament passages, and then we will be finishing this series then with an Old Testament passage. I want to begin with Pastor Carolyn's first few paragraphs from this week's e-letter as it introduces our sermon for today and relates it directly to MLEPC. Pastor Carolyn wrote, if you didn't get the letter, "Many thanks to all of you who helped make Easter a joyful celebration of our risen Lord. I can't even count the number of people serving during Holy Week and Easter Sunday, from the parking lot attendants, to the kitchen crew, to the many talented musicians, to all of you who simply welcomed the visitors who joined us in worship." And Chris Buddha, thank you for leading our early sunrise service and for all who made that happen in the drive-through since the sun never came up. And for preaching on my favorite Bible passage. That was really cool. "When all of you pull together for this united purpose, it gives us the perfect image for our next sermon and small group series on gifts of the Spirit, titled Gifts of Grace. As we study Paul's teaching on gifts, we will see how he emphasizes that all gifts, when used together, can be a powerful force to share the good news of the gospel with the world." So friends, that's what it's all about. Using our gifts to share Jesus Christ with our neighbors near and far. We begin today with an Old Testament passage selected by Pastor Carolyn, where work is about to begin building the tabernacle. Moses is addressing the people in Exodus 35, verses 30 to 35. Notice as I read that this describes the skilled workers, as they're called by God, filled by the Spirit and gifted for their work. "Then Moses said to the people of Israel, 'See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, in carving wood, and for work in every skilled craft. And he has inspired him to teach, both him and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, or by a weaver, by any sort of workman or skilled designer." Now turning over to the New Testament, our passage from 1 Corinthians 12. Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you have picked up one of these small group studies, Gifts of Grace, and worked through lesson one, perhaps in anticipation of being part of a small group, you know that our New Testament passage is just a snippet of Paul's writings to the Corinthian church on spiritual gifts. For a full understanding, we really need to read all of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And I encourage you to try to do that sometime this week in one setting. If something about 1 Corinthians 13 sounds at all familiar, it is because it's probably the most recognized passage of Scripture written by the Apostle Paul, the famous love chapter commonly used at weddings. What caused me to pause and reflect in my study yesterday is that this passage, taken in context, comes in between two passages on spiritual gifts. To summarize Paul's teachings on gifts from these three chapters, 1 Corinthians 12 describes the gifts. In chapter 13, Paul writes that we are to use our gifts with love. And chapter 14 discusses two specific gifts that are causing problems in worship in the Corinthian church, tongues and prophecy. Corinth was the most important city of all of Greece in Paul's day. It was one of the greatest trading and commercial centers of the ancient world. Traffic from the north to south of east had to pass through Corinth, and the greater part of east to west traffic chose to pass through Corinth rather than sail around the southern tip of Greece, Cape Malea, which was a journey of about 200 miles longer and known to be extremely dangerous. I read that the Greeks had two sayings about the voyage around Malea. Let him who sails around Malea forget his home, and let him who sails around Malea first make his will. Corinth was synonymous with wealth, luxury, overindulgence, and immorality. It attracted great crowds of foreigners whose gods were those of pleasure and lust. Indeed, as Paul writes to the Corinthian church, there's disunity, as the worldliness of the city had infected the fellowship of believers. Paul begins his first letter by telling the Corinthians that they are not lacking in any gift, and he appeals to them to be united in the same mind and same judgment. Fast forward then to our reading today from chapter 12. In a three-verse introduction, Paul reminds the Corinthians of the change that came into their lives when they turned from worshiping idols to confessing that Jesus is Lord by the Holy Spirit. He then uses the same Greek word three times in verses 4 to 6, diaresis, which the English Standard Version of the Bible translates varieties. Other translations use different kinds or apportionments. And then the predicates to diaresis are gifts, service, and activities. The word is used three times in three verses for emphasis, leading us to take note of the conclusion. Paul says it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. As Paul first mentions gifts in verse 4, he uses the Greek word charismata from which you will recognize our word charisma. A person who has charisma has an attractiveness that draws others to him or her, but the root word of charismata is actually charis, or grace. So God gives us spiritual gifts of grace, and here they are from our scripture reading today: wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits or discernment, various kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. At the end of chapter 12, then, Paul adds to the list teaching, helping, and administering. As I was working through this passage yesterday without any time to really bring in any personal kinds of illustrations, just for fun, I clicked on Christian cartoons, spiritual gifts. I came across one where a husband and wife are sitting across the table, and on the wall above them is a plaque, "God bless our home." And she says to him, "I was just fine until you stood up in service and testified that golf was one of your spiritual gifts." Sorry, folks, golf did not make Paul's list. Well, just as Paul's best-known passage is probably the love chapter, his best-known image of the church as the body of Christ is of one body made up of many parts, its individual members, you and I. Pastors Carol and scripture reading stopped at verse 14, but in the next several verses, Paul goes on to describe the significance of each body part to the whole: the hand, the foot, the eye, and the ear. Another little cartoon I came across yesterday was one of the toy, Mr. Potato Head. Do you remember him? He was there when I was growing up and there yet today. Kind of like a big brown plastic potato with holes that you stick different body parts into. The comic showed a potato head with a foot stuck where the ear belongs, and the ear stuck in the place where the foot belongs. The caption reads, "Pastor Potato Head is very effective in explaining the body of Christ." But this cartoon well illustrates Paul's point that as each part of the body is used for its purpose, the ear to hear, the eye to see, the foot to take us places, the hands to reach out to others, it's just as significant as each member is to the body of Christ. And as Pastor Carolyn wrote again in her e-letter this week, we need the visible parts of the body, the hands, the feet, and we also need the hidden parts like the liver and the lymph nodes. We need the worship leaders and the dishwashers, the prayer warriors and the preachers. A body is functioning when each part is functioning well. Therefore, we need each other as we are parts of his body, this body here that we call MLEPC. We need to respect each other. When one thinks that their gift is more important than another, there is no respect, and the work that we're called to do is compromised. And if one part is not functioning well, we sympathize with it, and we work together to bring healing. This is what's meant by being the body of Christ, yet being individual members of it. Our first study from Gifts of Grace, I keep holding this up because I want you all to take one home with you today. Commercial. Our first study from Gifts of Grace is titled Finding the Balance. The author of the study cautions us against two extremes. On one side, not exercising our gifts and forgetting that each and every gift is necessary and important. The other extreme is to consider our own gift more important than that of another. And that was exactly what Paul was trying to combat in 1 Corinthians 14, where the believers considered tongues and prophecy more important than other gifts. Between these two extremes, then, is the balance, love. And I appreciate the image this study uses of love being the fulcrum, centering spontaneity and order in using our gifts. Does anybody remember those decorative brass scales that used to be popular? Maybe I'm dating myself. My parents had a set that sat on the buffet, and I remember as a child stacking plastic fruit on each side to try and get each side to balance. So it is that 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, is sandwiched in between these two chapters on spiritual gifts, Love should be the balance, the fulcrum, the motivator for all spiritual gifts. And when we read 1 Corinthians 13 or hear it read at weddings, we often miss the context of spiritual gifts. The first three verses actually speak of the gifts of tongues, knowledge, and faith. The passage then continues with what we usually focus on at weddings. It begins with verse 4, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." The love that Paul describes here is one that is humble, full of joy, and it is a lasting love. It is that type of love that is the fulcrum or the balancer, the motivation for our use of spiritual gifts. In our Old Testament passage that I read from Exodus, Moses informed the people that two men, Bezalel and Aholiab, had different skills and filled with the Spirit would contribute their expertise and would teach others also. The embroiderers did the complicated work. The weavers did the straight weaving. But all had a part to play in this work of God. It's noteworthy that Moses brings the people in on everything. He wanted them to feel a part of what was done. And one more little cartoon, I promise this is the last. A woman is pointing to a man and she says, "Who do you think you are, God's gift to the church?" He says, "Well, yes." And the caption reads, 1 Corinthians 12, "In fact, we all are." We were watching the news last night of the shooting at the Chabad Synagogue in Poway, California, and a woman who was a refugee, I think she was from Iraq, said to the reporter interviewing her, "We are united. You can't shake us. You can't break us as we are strong together." And so it is as we use our different varieties or kinds or apportionments of gifts, service, and acts. As a personal application for each one here, it is important that we know what our spiritual gifts are, and some do. God uses our gifts in amazing and sometimes surprising ways. There are a couple of people who have the gift of administration, and we're surprised to find how very significant and necessary that gift is for Fired Up Friday, which is the key program we have that supports our vision of reaching kids and their parents for Jesus. How does that work? These people found themselves helping to maintain the very large spreadsheet of information on hundreds of kids who register and then show up for this event. One of the questions in this week's study is, Whitefield, who has done much work with spiritual gifts in our church, especially each year with our confirmation classes, she'll be leading workshops to walk us through a spiritual gift inventory. As you discern your spiritual gifts, you will be better able to serve with what God has uniquely gifted you with. And even if you know or think you know what your spiritual gifts are, coming to this workshop will allow you to find others who have the same gifts, and you can talk together about how your gifts can be used as part of the body of Christ to glorify God and to reach others for Christ here at MLEPC and beyond. I was working last night with a commentary on the letters to the Corinthians, one that is precious to me. It's part of a set by William Barclay given to me by the family of a former member, Naomi Hall, who certainly had the gift of spiritual gift of teaching. There are some here who still remember this woman who was quite a force in her 99 years. A yellowed newspaper clip fell out of the book, and it was titled, "Why Believers Avoid Church, Told in Study." I was able to plug that title and the author into the internet and found that that article was written over 40 years ago, in 1978. It mentions a 97-page report entitled, "Who Are the Unchurched?" by a minister from Lutheran Theological Seminary in Gettysburg. The report classifies the unchurched into several different categories: anti-institutionalists, those who see the church as preoccupied with its own self-preservation; the boxed in are those who find the church confining and restrictive; then there's the burned out, who are just weary and drained by church work; cop-outs are those who were never really involved with church life; happy hedonists are those who find fulfillment in monetary pleasures instead of the church. The locked out include those who have felt rejected, neglected, or discriminated against by churches. The report claims the publicans are the largest group, not Republicans, publicans. Those who see the church as hypocrites and frauds, leading double lives. The scandalized are people disgusted with the church's disunity and denominational rivalry. Then there's nomads, wandering Americans with few ties, pilgrims who are always on an ideological search, true unbelievers like atheists and agnostics, and the uncertain who just don't know why they really don't do church. Wow, that's quite a list, and we could probably add to it today. But here's the point. When we function well as a church, with all the body parts engaged, all of us using the spiritual gifts that God has equipped us with, we will reach some of these folks with the good news of the gospel. Praise be to God. So I had Pastor Carolyn read my sermon last night. I've honestly never written a sermon in one day, or not even a whole day, and I thought I should have a second set of eyes on it before I brought it to you today. She said it struck her as she read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 that 1 Corinthians 12, 26 is kind of right in the middle of those three chapters. And it says, if one member suffers, all suffer together, because one spot in her body is causing everyone and everything else to be miserable. So again, please pray for her. And again, I do encourage you to study with us in a season, this short five-week season after Lent. Learn what your gifts are or nurture those that you know you already have. And I leave you with Pastor Carolyn's closing in her letter this week, one I certainly would agree with, and I'm sure I speak for Pastor Steve as well. We can't wait to see how our church will flourish when all of us are sharing the gifts that God has given us. May God fill you with His grace through the Holy Spirit as we use all of our gifts to His glory. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for gifting us in a variety of ways. And we pray that as individuals and as a church, that by your Spirit, we will be empowered to use our gifts to draw others to you. The categories of those who are unchurched are daunting and depressing, and we ask that you provide us with opportunities and words to soften hearts that have been embittered and angered against your church. Lord, we thank you for this study, and we pray for all who are beginning today to work to understand more fully the work that you have for us. Amen. And now I invite you to stand with me as we confess our faith from the EPC Essential Tenets.